Blog Talk Radio.
My ideas and content must be a reality, so all my dreams can come to be a possibility. All success starts with a decision just to try. Failing is inevitable if we do not fight. Knowing your purpose, meaningful life. Great execution bring confidence in your smile. If you believe, then you can fly. Don't waste no more time, you can soar up to the sky. Say I'm a winner, greatest live inside of me. Nothing you can do to stop me from the lead, yeah. I know I can, I know I will, 'cause I'm a winner. The morning sun to ensure what I said I'll do was really done. Come in my plans, I got no procrastination or weakness in my life I have to overcome. No time for doubt, no time for fear. Problems will come, but I will let them disappear. I cannot slow down, I have to run. I see the time and I must complete the mission, 'cause I'm a winner.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I'm your host this evening, Brother Mike, and tonight we're coming with part two of The Peace of Peace, The Power of His Presence by Pastor Steve Lee. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Pastor Lee, you now have the mic.
Thank you, thank you. And we'll just go ahead and get started by prayer. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. That healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I'll now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, we pray. Well, beloved, I want to really dig into the peace of God and ask you to allow your heart to be established in this peace, to be settled in this peace. Once we do that, I mean, we change everything. No matter what you are facing or going through, beloved, the peace of God is a weapon that God gave us, and we can measure that peace, maintain that peace, and utilize that peace for victory. Last time we came up with some things that were noticed throughout the Bible. There has always been a way to know and experience the very presence of God. In the Old Testament, Moses prayed that if your presence does not go with us, then we will not go up. Don't take us up. That was found in Exodus chapter 31, verse 15, 14 and 15. I mean, it's just an interesting way of knowing that the confidence that was given to him because of the presence of God. Peace is the power of his presence. When I have that peace, then I know I have his presence. I'll just read this again to you in Exodus 33:14-15. He says, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." So please note that the presence of God carries with it rest. If you don't have the peace of God, then you're going to be frustrated because rest is not going to be there. "I will cause my presence to go with thee, and I will give you rest." And he said, Moses said, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." I don't know how many times we have tried to do things, and the peace of God is not connected to what we're doing. Sometimes we do things by necessity, by comfort. Okay, please hear what he said there. He said, when you experience my presence, then you will experience my rest. Comfort comes before rest. Please get those things. Comfort is before rest. You get comfortable first in the chair, then you enter into rest. Okay? If you're not comfortable, yes, it becomes hard to enter in. I got that. But don't misunderstand just because I'm comfortable with the thing. Beloved, we were sinners, and we were pretty doggone comfortable with our sin. I did not say that we were comfortable in our sin, because the conviction of the Holy Ghost is still there with us, even in our sin. But if we are comfortable with our sin, we won't give the Holy Spirit any ability to work in the situation. Okay? So we can be comfortable with our sin, but we should never be comfortable in our sin. The best thing that we should ever do with sin is repent. Amen. See, we should not repeat sin. You got the letters wrong. It's almost the exact same word except one. See? The N is the one that's not supposed to be there. I mean, the end is the one that keeps you from not doing the same thing. If you repeat, that's not repent. The end is missing. Anyway, so I just want you to know that peace, the definition that we have for peace is completeness, soundness, welfare, safety, health, prosperity, quiet, tranquility, contentment, nothing missing, nothing broken. Peace is not the absence of conflict, but it is rather the ability to effect change by promise. I'm going to say that again. Peace is not the absence of conflict, but rather the ability to affect change by promise. You might want to write that down. Get that into your heart. Comfort is not affecting change. Comfort is continuing in the thing because you don't want to move. Okay? Peace is not the absence of conflict, but it is rather the ability to affect change by promise. And when he gave me that, I was kind of glad because it's going to be everything that we should do and live in, it should be by faith or by promise. Man is supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, or understood a more simple way, we're supposed to live by promise. We should affect change by promise. Affect change by faith. Okay? In the times of war, this just so that you can see this, they were fighting, and in order to establish the change necessary, they would bring about a peace treaty. They affected change by promise. The war drags on, and it doesn't look like anybody is going to win, or that you are not going to win. So what do? You make peace, a peace treaty. You affect change by promise. You lay out guidelines and conditions. They call them covenants. God has established these guidelines and conditions for us in his word. He wants us to affect change in our lives by promise. Okay? In the New Testament, Jesus told us that he gave us peace. In John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus wants us to be established in this peace. That's why he left us his peace. Okay? He said, not the way the world gives you peace. All right, we'll do this. We'll go into this a little bit different. Hadn't seen that, but there it is. He says, I'm going to leave you peace, but I'm not going to leave you peace the way the world leaves you peace. One of the ways that the world would leave you peace is after you've done everything, then you can enter into whatever is left. If that's peace, amen. If you lost the battle, then you just deal with the ramifications of a failure. Okay? Jesus didn't leave it to you that way. He left his peace to you by promise. My peace I give unto you. Didn't say that you had to work for it. He said, I give it to you. In the Amplified, it says this way, "Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you." The word bequeath there is the same word we use as they have litigations for wills and testaments. It is the person that has it bequeaths it by contract. Okay? He's leaving you his peace by contract with the exchange of words. He's leaving his peace by promise. Okay? So then as he's left us his peace by promise, it then becomes incumbent upon us to know and function in the promise, the guidelines, the covenant, the rules. See, if you don't understand the covenant, then the piece that was left might not be beneficial to you because you don't know how to use it, how to employ it, how to deploy it. Somebody said that the other day, it just really blessed me, that a lot of people in the body of Christ are trying to be employed when God is trying to get them deployed. He's trying to get you to go and initiate what he gave you. Go and use what he gave you. My peace I bequeath unto you. My peace I leave with you. He's trying to get us to use his peace. Okay, good. This is good. He's trying to get us to use his peace as opposed to going around looking for his peace. Come on, y'all. If the peace is yours, then you have authority, right to execute. But here we are looking for peace, hoping that things would get better. Please hear Jesus when he said this in Matthew chapter 5. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. He did not say, blessed are the peace finders. In other words, blessed are the ones that go into a situation and decree and declare, release and look through the avenue of what peace does instead of looking for peace that they don't usually find. If you don't have something, it becomes more difficult to use it. Once you know that you have what you need, then the next step should be use it. My peace I give unto you. I bequeath it to you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly unsettled. See, if you know you have it, he says, now I need for you to use it. Stop allowing your heart to be troubled. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Wow. A lot of times, as I just stated, we are trying to find a peace that we should possess, that we should exude, if you would. But if I have doubt, worry, fear settled in my heart, then the peace does not come through. And since it does not come through, I cannot use it. Okay? If the peace is not manifest, I can't use it. If I'm still looking for the tool, come on, y'all, just look at it in the natural. If I'm still looking for the hammer, I can't use the hammer. But if I have the hammer, then I begin to become more proficient in its use. If I practice using what's mine, I will become more proficient at it. I will know what the expectation of the tool is. I'm hoping you're getting a picture of this, beloved. A pen is a tool. If I don't have the pen, I can't use the pen to then gauge by my expectation the things that I want. The Bible says that your tongue is the pen of a ready writer. In other words, if I know how to use my tongue, Proverbs 18, death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. They that know how to use it because they love it, not because they're looking for it. Come on, beloved, please hear these things. You're supposed to make a difference, impact things, effect change. That's what we said. Peace is not the absence of conflict, but it is rather the ability to affect change by promise. The peace that Jesus left us is the same peace that he used. Okay, let's understand. He left you a peace that was tried, tested, and proven faithful. He did not leave you a peace that could not win. Oh, please, beloved, do you see? Sometimes we put up with stuff because we think we don't have any choice. That's because we didn't understand the peace of God is the power of his presence. I'm trying to get you to just see and understand. Have a different template, if you would, in your heart, in your understanding of peace as the thing that God left me to start with. Okay. I'm not trying to attain that anymore. Otherwise, Jesus would have had to say something different. He would have had to say, I have some peace, and I'm going to put it on the side over here for you if you want it. No, he said, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to leave it with you. Please, he did not say, I'm going to leave it for you. Come on. I'm going to leave it with you. Wow, I hadn't thought about that. There it is. He did not leave it on the outside. He left it on the inside. It is with, in conjunction. It is with you. Okay? Those little bitty words like that. He did not say he was going to leave his peace for us. That probably would have been good. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, I leave my peace with you. It already belongs to you. It is possessionary. Okay, that means it's not pie in the sky. That is some ham where I am. That is some steak on my plate. I leave it with you. Okay. In other words, beloved, it is controlled by you. Come on. I leave it with you. He did not say, I have it in reserve for you. Something in reserve for me still has to be found by me. Something that is with me is possessionary. But you know, God shows us this in Hosea. He says, my people are destroyed for one reason and one reason only, lack of knowledge. They don't know that the peace is theirs. They just assume that the peace will be theirs. You know, assume what it does. It makes an ass out of you and me. Assume. It makes a donkey out of you and me. It makes, you're supposed to be sheep that know his voice, that hear his voice. You're not supposed to be a donkey. One that is stubborn. One that kicks against the process, as opposed to flowing in the process. Sheep go with the flow. Sheep don't butt, they don't kick, they go with the flow. But here you are assuming, and that makes an ass, a donkey, a stubborn participant in the plan of God. Beloved, do you think and do you see how assumption, fear, doubt causes you to become stubborn in the will of God? Not able to flow in righteousness? Jesus wants you to function in peace so much that he left it with you. And then he says, because of this, do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed. Do not permit yourself to be fearful and intimidated, cowardly and unsettled. I'm just reading this and looking at it. Notice he said cowardly and unsettled. If I am a cowardly, afraid, and unsettled, then it's going to be very difficult for me to summon up the strength and ability to move. Two problems. One is I'm cowardly. The second one is I am unsettled. My next step requires sure footing on the step before it. If I am unsettled today, I don't have sure footing. Therefore, my future is in question. Because I don't know how to leave. Don't know how to leave. Don't know if I can leave. Come on, y'all. Just look at these words. I'm just kind of just doing an English study here. He says, don't be cowardly. Don't be unsettled. His words are sure. His words are forever settled in the heavenlies. See? So he's wanting you to take off from the place with the victory already in your heart. We are not those that are trying to establish victory. We are those that enjoy victory. Isn't that what the Bible teaches us? He's already given us all things richly to enjoy. Come on, beloved. He has, past tense, given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Peace being one of those things is not something we're trying to develop. It's something we should use. We have this peace. We have this assurance. We have this completeness, soundness, welfare, safety, health, prosperity, quietness, tranquility, contentment, with nothing missing and nothing broken. His peace has already been proven that it works. His peace is waiting on us to employ it. The peace is waiting to go to work through us so that it can work for us. I say it all the time. God cannot do anything for you until he first does something in you. It has to be an assurance on the inside. And then that assurance on the inside will change, alter everything on the outside. Because life, glory to God, because life happens on the inside first. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And when those words are allowed to live on the inside, they will affect change on everything around you. Because once the word is alive on the inside and spoken by you with a heart of confidence, then that word spoken will not return to him void. That word spoken will then accomplish what pleases him. You know, it does not please God, beloved, that you have half of a victory. Nothing missing, nothing broken. He wants you to have fullness of joy, not partial joy. See, when you have peace on the inside because of his presence, then fullness is guaranteed. In his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence, there is nothing missing. Come on. When people went to Jesus and Jesus worked the situation out for them, these are the words that you hear over and over again. He said, now go from here and be made whole. He didn't say, go from here and enjoy a little, Dad. He said, go from here and enjoy fullness. Go from here being made whole. Soundness, completeness, prosperity, contentment, nothing missing, nothing broken. His peace is ordained by God for us. It's not something that we have to, this is one of those things. It is not something that we have to work to get. He said, my peace I give unto you. Not my peace you work for. I understand that in order to maintain peace, that takes work. I get that. But please know that you're starting from the finished work, not trying to finish the work. See, if we would get this into our understanding, into our heart, then it gives us the ability to declare and decree a thing. And once we know that, then that thing will be established. Okay. A thing that is established is different from a thing that is created. A thing that is established has already been created. It is now standing in the position of victory. It is established. If, again, Jesus said these words, it is finished. He did not say, I'm working on it. I'll get back to you. He said, it is finished. My peace I give. He's not working on your peace, beloved. He's finished with your peace. It is established. If you would turn with me to Isaiah chapter 54. And you can just write these scriptures down and go back and look at them. 54. The whole chapter is good, but I just wanted to bring some things out. I might have to go back and make some caveats in here. But Isaiah 54, Isaiah 32, verse 15. Well, actually, we're going to do 17 and 18. I will just do that. I might go into 15. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Okay? James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. I just want to kind of tie up Isaiah chapter 55. I just want to tie up some thought processes for you as it relates to peace. Okay? In chapter 54, Lord Jesus, he gives us some instructions here, and the instructions are in the midst of. Our instructions are after the resurrection. These were still prophetic. Ours have been proved. Okay? But we still have to execute the same thought process to allow the peace that has been left for us to begin to manifest. Verse 2 says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords. Strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. And thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. He said, enlarge, stretch forth, spare not, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, because you shall break forth on the right hand and on the left. And he gave future to your seed. They will inherit. And he says, and you will make desolate places inhabited. Oh, my God. But if you don't have a different mindset, enlarge the place of your tent. Open your eyes. That's what stretch forth the curtains of your habitation is. Open your eyes. Curtains go over windows. Your windows are the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your spirit. If you have worry, frustration, doubt, or fear that's blocking you from the flow of God, open your eyes. Spare not. Lengthen your cords. Do not be limited to that which, come on now, come on, y'all, look at that. He said, lengthen your cords. Do not be limited to what you have your hands on now. He said, lengthen them. Whatever connects you to where you are and where you want to be, he said, lengthen that. He didn't say function in weakness. He said, lengthen it. He said, strengthen the stakes. The place where you're anchored, strengthen that. Why? Because I'm going to give you more, he just said. You will break forth on the right hand and on the left. Beloved, if you are breaking forth on the right and on the left, that means your future just got impacted. Is that correct? He did not say anything about what's behind you. He said on your right and on your left. That encompasses the whole horizon of life. Please see that. Please see that. He said you will break forth. Your whole horizon, everything in front of you. If I can get you to enlarge your tent, how you think, how your heart receives, if you will allow your eyes to be open, and if you will remove limits, strengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes, you will break forth. And you will leave seed for your children to inherit. You will cause and effect change, because that which was desolate, you will make it to be inhabited. Wait a minute, beloved, just look at this. He said you will make desolate cities to be inhabited. So you're not just going to affect change for you, you're going to affect change for all cities. There's an S there. He took all limits off, beloved. This is what peace has to do on the inside of you, so that you can then walk out what peace has already given you. Walk into what peace has provided. Come on, y'all. He just said this, enlarge. Enlarge the tent of the place of your tent. Stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. Spare not. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. You're going to break out on the right and on the left, and you will make desolate cities to be inhabited. You will provide everything necessary for increase. God in heaven. You will provide increase. In order to provide increase, that means you're going to have to secure income. Come on, y'all. You cannot have increase without something more coming in. You have to have income to release increase. Oh, beloved. Come on, y'all. I'm trying to get into your understanding. This is what peace brings. This is his presence. Then he says, fear not. For thou shalt not be ashamed. I don't know, maybe you should circle it under your body. You will not be ashamed. You will not be confounded. You shall not be put to shame. And you're going to have a renewed mind, because you're going to forget the shame of your youth. You will remember your reproach no more. Why? Because thy maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth. Glory to God. the God of the whole earth. In other words, beloved, wherever you are, he is God in that situation. You might not be aware of how to enjoy him as God, but he already is God of the whole earth. I'm trying to expand, right? I am trying to expand the place of your habitation. I'm trying to open your eyes. Wherever you are, once you understand that his presence is the peace that you need to make these things happen, because he's the God of the whole earth. For the Lord had called thee when I was forsaken and grieved in spirit, a wife of youth, and thou was refused, saith the Lord, saith God. For a small moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercy I will gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. He says, you've been having trouble, but I am here to change it. And I'm going to change it. Look at this, verse 7. You was forsaken, but I'm going to have great mercy. Come on, y'all. He didn't say just a little mercy. He said great mercy. In the New Testament, it says that great grace was upon them all. Not a little grace. Great grace. Why? Because we can say it this way. God is bigger than any challenge that's in front of you. And he's not bigger by a little bit. He's going to show you his greatness in the big that he is. With great mercies, I will gather thee. Great grace was upon them all. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask at the great mercy. And he says in verse 9 about this great mercy, that this is as the waters of Noah unto me. This is how I look at it. For I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth. So I have sworn that I will not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. Mountains shall depart, hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall my covenant of peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. Glory to God. He says, this great mercy is so great, it's going to make mountains depart, hills be removed. And as you see the bigness of a challenge, he said, I need for you to see and understand that my kindness will not depart from you. Okay. You remember in Romans chapter 5, I think it's 23, that it says, where sin did abound, much more did grace abound. So if you see a challenge, if you see a problem, please understand that his great mercy hasn't moved. I would rather you learn how to define the word sin as being without a portion or doing without a portion. Okay? Sin is not to be defined in your understanding as you missing the mark. That is, and if you look at it in the original language, you will see that that is the second definition after being or doing without a portion. Because if you don't have a portion, beloved, it's real simple to know you're going to miss the mark. You don't have what you need to finish, to execute. So then because you don't have what you need to execute, you're going to come up short. For all have been without a portion and have sinned, fallen short of the glory. That's the one people quote all the time. You know, for all the sins, for all the shows of the glory of God. No, no, no. He did that, first of all, so that he can get everybody at the same state so he can bless everybody. That's why all the sin is falling short. But he said, if you understand that your sin is to not have a portion, that's why you fell short. But you don't have to live that way, beloved, because you have been crowned with glory and honor. So why do you think you have to fall short of the glory of God? You've been crowned with it. It's part of your redemption package. It came with salvation. Amen. And as the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall my covenant of peace be removed. He just said, no matter what, I am not, will not remove my covenant of peace. Remember, peace is not the absence of conflict, but rather it is the ability to effect change by promise. Covenant of peace. Verse 11. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and thy foundations with sapphires. I will make thy windows of agate, and thy gates of carbuncle, and all of thy borders of pleasant stones. And all of thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. He says, I know you were afflicted. I know you were tossed in the tempest. I know you were not comforted. But now I am due because of this peace, this covenant of peace that I have. Now I'm going to do something. I'm going to lay your foundation, your stones, with fair colors. Glory to God. Glory to God. God just removed gloom and doom from your sight. He's going to have fair colors at your feet. That's your foundation right there. Glory to God. And your foundation shall be precious stones, sapphires. And I will make your windows, your gates, your eyes. Come on, come on. This is not, this is light through a rose-colored glasses. He just said, there they are. I will make your windows of agate. Again, precious stones. And your gates, the way you're going to traverse in and out, through from here to there, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed when you come, blessed when you go. I will make your gates of carbuncle. I will make your gates of that which is precious, easy to be identified. He didn't say these would be jagged edges. He said these would be carbuncles. That which is easy to be collected. And all of your borders of pleasant stones. I just hear from this, because the covenant of peace opened this up for me. All of my borders, the things that surround me. Wow. Are pleasant stones. Even if I don't know how to move, I don't know what to do, I feel restricted, he says that restriction has to be pleasant stones. It won't get on my nerves, frustrate me. It will be there. Okay, all right, it'll be there. The highway was established so that you can get from point A to point B smoothly. Original intent of highways. That's your borders, if you would. If you stay in between the ditches, as they used to say, then all of those borders on that highway are going to be pleasant stones. Your path is going to be lined with that which is pleasing.
That's what he said. I didn't write that. That's your Bible. You opened your Bible. That's what it says. And then he says this, and all of your children, all of your spiritual children shall be disciples. This is what it says in Amplified. All of your children. He didn't say some of them. Please help me out. I mean, God, he just took care of he just took care of little Bobby. Even though little Bobby don't understand how to function in this, he just said, little Bobby will be taught of the Lord. He will be a disciple. He just gave little Bobby a future. Glory to God. And obedient to his will. All of your children. And great shall be the peace and undisturbed composure of your children. Hallelujah. When you understand peace is supposed to be that which you allow to confirm your life, it will change whatever is wrong and make it right. Listen at this. Listen at this. Verse 14. You shall establish yourself in righteousness, rightness, and conformity with God's will and order. You shall be far from even the thought of oppression. This oppression, destruction. For you shall not fear. You shall be far from fear, for it shall not come near you. Behold, they may gather together and stir up strife, but it's not for me. Whoever stirs up strife against you shall fall and surrender to you. Behold, I've created the smith who blows on the fire of the coals, who produces a weapon for his purpose. I've created the devastator to destroy, but no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong. This peace, this righteousness, this security, this triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. This is the righteousness or vindication which they have obtained from me, that is, that I impart to them as their justification. He says that in righteousness, you will be established in righteousness. So please help me out, beloved. He did not say in frustration you will be established. So then if you visited frustration and you set up camp there, that is not how God wants to establish you. He said he wants to establish you in righteousness. And because you are established in righteousness, you will be far from oppression. You will not fear. You will be far from terror. Okay, wow, did you hear this? Look at this. He said, you'll be far from it, and it won't come near you. Didn't say you couldn't go get it. Please just read what you say. It shall not come nigh you. It's not going to advance towards you. Lord, if this ain't wasn't for this here, man, I don't know what I'd do, because everything bad. See, you went and got trouble, beloved. It was not scheduled to come to your door. Psalms 91. Only with your eyes shall you see and behold the reward of the wicked. 1,000 will fall at your right hand, 10,000, but it will not come nigh your dwelling place. Why? Because I am established in this feast. Behold, it says, they will gather together, but not for me. I created the smith to blow us on the coast. I created, the devil ain't your problem. I created the devil. I got him. And because I got him, verse 17 says, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. He didn't say that the weapon wouldn't be formed. He said that the weapon would not prosper. When you see the weapon, it is at its maximum. It cannot grow anymore. It's over right then. It cannot prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is your heritage. And it says, this is the heritage of those servants of the Lord, those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. So it says, those that serve the Lord and allow Jesus to come forth in their life. This is their heritage. And their righteousness is of me. Go to Isaiah chapter 32. I'll try to get a couple more in here. Just the peace. This is what we're supposed to be established in. Watch this. In verse 17 through. He says, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in peaceable habitations and in sure dwelling places and in quiet resting places. God wants us to be established in righteousness so that the peace will allow in our lives what he wanted to do. We can affect change through these processes. And notice what he said here. He said righteousness has an effect, not just fruit. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. And this peace is going to be an effect. And the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. Fruit comes as a result of personal labor or work. And it can be gathered, and it can be either good or bad, okay? Fruit comes as a result of personal labor and work, okay? Fruit that comes this way is usually very proportionate. Whatever you sow, that's what you reap, okay? But he just said the effect of righteousness, effect, is disproportionate. It remains, according to what he just said, it remains forever. The effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. That's not fruit. That is the effect. Did you get that? When I become established in righteousness, then that peace that comes through that now will keep me away from, not just away from, it said far away from oppression, fear, and terror. Now I can release my prayers with dynamic power. I'm one that is established. I entered into the covenant that Jesus established for us because he is known in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. He is known as the Prince of Peace. And the increase of this government and of his peace, there shall be no end. Glory to God. See, he said, this effect is going to be there forever. There will be no end. And it notice this in verse 7 of that. It says that this is going to happen by increase. The increase, he's the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and the increase of this government and the increase of this peace shall have no end. Wow. See? And then my people now can dwell. It didn't say my people shall live, I mean shall visit. It says my people shall dwell in peaceable habitation, in sure dwelling, in quiet resting places. People that understand the covenant of his peace that will not leave me. See, this is what we have to put into our heart, into our understanding. James chapter 3, and I'll just wrap it up right there. Started in verse 13. He asks a question about what we are hearing, what we are experiencing here.
And in this whole chapter, he speaks to a double-tongued person. He says, don't be double-tongued here. Stop doing that. Let your mind be established in righteousness. Let your heart be established in righteousness. Not in, I ain't got enough. No. He said he will not let this covenant of peace go. He'll always be there. Then he asks a question in verse 13. He says, who is a wise man? And a man that is endued with knowledge among you. Let him show out of a good conversation what he does, his works, with meekness of wisdom. But if you have the envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where there is envy and strife, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. It is easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of those that make peace. The effect of this righteousness lasts forever. And the fruit of this righteousness is supposed to be sown in peace of those that make peace. He did not say of those that find peace. He said those that make, those that establish, those that release peace. See, beloved, I'm asking you through the scripture to grow up in your covenant relationship. Grow up in your covenant responsibility. I love the word responsibility, or compound words, responsible. That's what it means. Responsible is two words. You are response-able. You are able to respond correctly. He did not leave you with ideas that were unfounded, unproved. He left you his peace that had already been proved. And it, because it is his peace, you can now be response able. You can't help but to win because you are response able. You are no longer unresponse able. You have been given the victory. You have been given his peace. You have been given his word. You are response able. Because all things are possible to him that believes. Why are they possible? Because you are now response able. The task that God has for us to do, to go and make desolate cities inhabited, to go and make the world again the place where he has been able to rule and to reign, where he can cause grace to be established in every place. This work is going to have to be done because we understand the tools that he's given us. Peace is a weapon. The Bible says in Romans chapter 16, verse 20, that the God of peace is going to bruise Satan under your heels shortly. The God of peace. That is, when peace comes into your heart and is allowed to rule, it's not just going to make you happy, it's going to allow him a place where he can launch judgment from. Judgment is not a bad thing, it is the view of a thing. This is what God wants to do. He wants to show, display to the world his thoughts, his way of looking at it. And that happens through you because you understand how to appropriate peace and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of those that are good
with peace, that understand peace, that fashion peace correctly, those that make peace. Peace is not the absence of conflict, but rather the ability to effect change by promise. You are now response able. Go and impact whatever is in front of you by the peace of God that rules in your heart. By the peace of God that rules in your heart. When the peace of God rules in your heart, you will no longer be subject to things that are not by the Spirit of God. You will allow the peace of God to rule in your heart, to bear things. It will bear up, change, alter. But the choice is yours, beloved. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you that that word has given us a better understanding of the peace of God that even wants to pass our understanding and do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, to cause us to be settled, no more tossed to and fro, questioning your love, questioning your ability, but we will then allow peace to be established in our hearts, and once that peace is established, we will then know how to have the effect of peace released, the effect of righteousness released. Thank you, Father, that you're growing us up so that we can be response able by your Spirit to execute everything that is pleasing in your sight. We give you praise, glory, and honor, committing it to you as done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. All right. That was a wonderful word. Let's go ahead, folks, and get ready to open up for commentary. And let's get some feedback for tonight's teaching, starting with area code 352.
Hallelujah.
352?
Amen, 352. Amen.
All right.
Area code 352, waiting on you.
Just listening.
And
all right. All right, area code 845.
Amen. 845.
Area code 845. Okay. Area code 845 must be listening as well.
Amen. And it's well to listen. Might still be writing. And we always ask you to go ahead and write, take some notes, because we have to grow and become proficient at this. Okay. We're not here to entertain. That's not our desire. Our desire is to grow you up in faith. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, I guess that will be the end of tonight's broadcast. Pastor Steve, did you have anything else that you wanted to say?
No. I just I'm glad that we're here to assist people, and that doesn't make me the smartest tool in the toolbox. That only makes me one that is willing to allow God to speak truths that will transform so that we can then occupy till he comes. We won't have to be on the back burner, being pushed down, cast down, downtrodden. We can be those that with expectation bring the will of God. Fulfill Jesus' prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that's all I want to do, to let our beloved listeners know that's what we're trying to get you to do, the word that's already in your heart. It's already been placed in your heart, and do it on purpose, by purpose. Those are the promises that he left for you to engage in. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, folks. Well, that concludes tonight's broadcast here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. please sow a seed here if you've been blessed by the teachings that you have heard. Also, look forward to more programming coming for this week. I understand that Apostle Overton, he is still on sabbatical, but we will have teachings coming forth this week. Also, don't forget about the Apostolic A School, which is still being put together for the next session. If you are interested or if you'd like any information about Apostolic A School, please feel free to email us at overnavy1@gmail.com, and we'll get with you and get you the information that you need. With that being said, shalom. Good night. God bless. And if it's the will of the Most High, we will see you again here tomorrow night on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, everyone.
Amen. Shalom.
Shalom.